following is a first Marine aircraft wing taped historical interview. The interviewees are Major Carl F. Bergstrom, Jr., 066-078 USMC, pilot and operations officer attached to VMA 211 MAG 12 Chu Lai, Republic of Vietnam, and Major Gerald L. Ellis, 070766 USMC, pilot and maintenance officer attached to VMA 211 MAG 12 Chu Lai, Republic of Vietnam. The interviewer is Corporal Norman R. Carlson, 218-5474 USMC. This interview takes place at Chu Lai, Republic of Vietnam on 23 March 1968. The subject of this interview is comments from operations and maintenance departments of VMA 211, occurring from 1 February 1968 to present date. This interview is classified confidential until downgraded by higher authority.
I'm Major Bergstrom, and I'll be talking on the subject of the first is a probable hit incidents by hostile fire and some of the observations that this squadron has discovered during the time frame of 1 February to 23 March. It has been noted by the number of hit frequency that when the squadron was fragged for retired bombs and napalms, that the hit incident ratio increases quite significantly. In addition to the ratio when using the 10-degree dive bomb attack with the retarded bombs and napalm, the hit incident ratio is further increased when the attacks are made under a low cloud cover or a low ceiling, somewhere in the area of 1,000 feet. Some of the factors that we believe are important that increases the ratio is one, of course, the fact that the retarded bombs are being delivered and dropped at a 500-foot terrain clearance, which number one increases the potential of getting a hit. However, we further feel that the fact that having a low cloud coverage doesn't permit the aircraft to gain its full terminal speed, and therefore has a greater time for the enemy fire to get a hit probability. This has been substantiated in all respects by the number of hits that have occurred, especially on the alert periods. We feel that by an increased altitude release at 800 feet to 1,000 feet greatly reduces the hit probability when dropping retarded bombs. And in this behalf, when we have known hostile fire in the air, we limit the number of runs at a time. And if there's a moderate to heavy hostile fire, we make one run, expending all ordnance on that run. Or if we discover there is fire occurring, the next series of run is the last series in which we expend all ordnance. In regard to hostile fire and another thought plane, the case on the resupply mission has indicated that when the weather is good and we have fixed wing aircraft in the area, the enemy itself has a lower potential for hostile fire. However, again, as weather is reduced, the probable incidence of hostile fire that are directed towards the resupply helicopters greatly increases. In addition, it's known that on the hostile fire area to the enemy helicopters, the use of smoke to cover the area adjacent or away from the areas of approach for the helicopters in some fashion, whether the enemy believes the smoke to be some type of gas or some other toxic agent, it doesn't necessarily mean that having the smoke right over the target or adjacent to it. Just the sheer fact that the smoke's in the area seems to degrade the amount of hostile fire in the area. Speaking in terms of a new subject matter that has been discovered in the close confined operating areas that we have here at Chu Lai, and the amount of loose objects that are necessary around the revetment area that we have, and for the number of people to be moving in and out, and number of vehicles to be moving in and out of revetment, that this problem created the extreme safety safety hazard and FOD in the area. To reduce this potential, we've installed tiller bars to be used for all aircraft leaving the revetment. This permits the aircraft to leave the revetment at a lower power setting, thus reducing the hazard of flying debris. And further, having the tiller bar on the nose
It keeps a better control of aircraft in a confined area through the use of the nose barrel. This will eliminate any chance of a brake failure having the aircraft hit one of the redundant areas. We found this has been a very satisfactory change, even though it does require one more man to move the aircraft out of the redundant area.
Major Ellis, maintenance officer, VMA 211. Two lessons learned, or problem areas that we've had here in 211, one since early February, one since October. The longer problem area being the Garwood tow tractor. We've had very unsatisfactory results with this piece of equipment. At the present time, the squadron has two Garwood tow tractors on hand. Normally, only one of these two is operating, and then usually not fully operational. This piece of equipment is very difficult to maintain. It's heavy and cumbersome. Our biggest objection to it is the fact that the downtime on it, the hydraulic systems that are in this tractor don't lend themselves well to quick, easy maintenance or the handling that we require in a combat area. We have one Ford tractor that is just that, a farm Ford tractor that we use to tow aircraft with. This piece of equipment's been in country for about 3 years now. It's almost completely worn out. It's been overhauled several times, and yet we use it day after day after day with a minimal amount of maintenance and have very satisfactory results with it. The Garwood, if it breaks down, can't be towed or pushed. We have to call a wrecker to pick it up and take it down to the IMA to be repaired. And usually we're lucky to get it back within a week and a half. Our Ford tractor, on the other hand, the only problems we have with it are minor engine problems, points, so forth, and these can be repaired on the spot by our on-ground support equipment man, and the machinery's in operation almost all the time. Problem area we've run into in ordnance since the first part of February. We started having an unusually high failure rate of the Arrow 20A rack. These failures were caused by the feet on the 20A rack breaking when the rack was fired. As the bottom of the foot would break off, instead of ejecting the stir, the foot would travel upward and go through the wing of the aircraft. We had several aircraft that had holes punched in the wings, causing the fuel cell to leak. The fix we've come up with, about 3 weeks ago, we decided not to use the 1 in 5 outboard stations unless it was absolutely required. Therefore, now when we're carrying 6 Delta IIs, which is a standard load, we put 3 on a MER or TER on the 2 and 4 stations and leave the 1 in 5 stations empty. Therefore, just by using the rack less, we've had less failures. In fact, since that time, we've had no failures at all of this Arrow 20A rack. We've also placed a temporary fix by putting a steel plate directly above the rack, between the rack and the wing. This plate will absorb the shock of the foot traveling upward should the rack break, as it has in the past. And in one case, the only case we've had of a rack breaking since that time, the metal plate absorbed the shock of the foot and it didn't punch a hole in the wing. And therefore, we feel this problem is solved temporarily, at least the times that we have used the rack. The only time it's failed, we prevented the aircraft being damaged by using the plate. And by using them less, we've had only one failure in the past 4 weeks. I understand right now there's a maintenance fix coming out to improve the parts in this rack where it's not supposed to fail.